My dear brothers, today is a special day in your lives, the lives of your families, but it is also a unique moment in the life of the entire church, the life of the Society of Our Lady the Most Holy Trinity, the life of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. This doesn't happen every day. It is also a very special moment that this ordination occurs on the feast of Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, on the feast of the Visitation of Mary to Elizabeth, which in many ways for us is a sign of the new evangelization, where Mary, filled with the life of Christ, took that presence to her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth recognized not just her cousin, but also the child within her own womb was able to recognize the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a symbol for all of us of our mission as disciples of Jesus, missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the priesthood of Jesus Christ, the high priest, who, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is the true priest, and others, you and I, are only his ministers. Today we celebrate the priesthood of Jesus Christ, he whom God sent to us to reconcile us to God and to one another. And so he remains at the very center and focus of our celebration today. By the divine will, Christ made his church through the sacrament of baptism a kingdom of priests for his God and Father. Thus, all the baptized, all of us who are baptized, share in the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ, in the unity of mission. So it is important for you as new priests, for all of us who are priests, to remind ourselves always of the common priesthood, the priesthood that is royal through our baptism that we all share in. And today, through God's grace, you, my brothers, along with us, are ordained to the ministerial priesthood to serve the people of God in building up the mission of Jesus Christ. We are one in the unity of mission. We are different in the ministry that is given to each one of us. And so the Lord has chosen you, Alfredo, David, Michael, and Tristan, to serve the priesthood of the baptized through the ministerial priesthood. In that light, you are not to lord anything over the people of God. You are not to order, you are not to command, or to put yourself above the people of God, but to serve, and to serve humbly in the image of Jesus Christ, who himself, though divine, emptied himself of his divinity in order to serve. Therefore, you must always seek to acquire the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ. In the decree in the life and ministry of the priest, in chapter 3, which we just read this morning in a reflection together, I would like to reiterate some of those words in a description that the Vatican Council gives to the ordained priest, the ministerial priest. In that chapter 3, it says, priests of the New Testament, by their vocation and ordination, are in a certain sense set apart in the bosom of the people of God. However, they are not to be separated from the people of God or from any person, but they are to be totally dedicated to the work for which the Lord has chosen them. They cannot be ministers of Christ unless they are witnesses and dispensers of a life other than the earthly life. I'm not ordaining you to be social workers. I am ordaining you to serve Jesus Christ and his people, to point your own life to what is eternal, and to lead and guide others to that eternal kingdom. But you cannot be of service to others if you remain strangers to the life and conditions of others. It's a tall order to be apart and yet to be in the middle of. Their ministry itself, by a special title, forbids that they be conformed to this world. Yet at the same time, it requires that they live in this world among their brothers and sisters. You are to live as good shepherds that know their sheep, and using the words of our Holy Father, to smell like the sheep. And they are to seek to lead those who are not of this sheepfold. Don't forget the people that are beyond the sheepfold. Jesus left the 99 and went after the one, so that they too may hear the voice of Christ, so that there might be one fold and one shepherd. To achieve this aim, to reach all people, certain virtues, which in human affairs are deservedly esteemed and contribute a great deal, such as goodness of heart, sincerity, strength and constancy of mind, a zealous pursuit of justice, affability. And my brothers, there will be days you will not want to be affable. But we must learn to be affable in every situation. And there are others. The Apostle Paul commends them, saying, whatever things are true, whatever honorable, whatever just, whatever holy and whatever loving, whatever is of good repute, if there is any virtue, if anything is worthy of praise, think of these things. My brothers, you are ordained a priest within the royal priesthood, within the life of the church, to be with the people of God, to be present to those who are not of the sheepfold, in order to lead all to Jesus Christ. You will do so in the ministry of the Word. The Word of God must be at the very heart of your own personal life, your own personal prayer. But it is also incumbent upon you, as you were also ordained deacons for the Word, to allow that Word to dwell rich within you, as it dwelt in the life of Mary. But you are also called to proclaim and to teach that word to others. Be mindful in your ministry to the word that the Lord God wants to speak to his people through you. The Lord wants to reach his people through you, through the proclamation of the word and through the explanation of the truths of God. And so I ask you, as our Holy Father has also in his apostolic letter, to prepare yourself well to proclaim the word. At times you will have to leave the feeding of others to deacons and others so that you can pray over the scriptures and prepare yourself well to proclaim God's words. Never proclaim your own issues or your own theories. You are priests of Jesus Christ, priests of his church. I ask you to be a conduit of the word of God and never be an obstacle through speech or through action which contradicts the word of God. You will assist me or the bishops under which you will serve and your superiors. You will be there to sanctify the people of God through the sacraments. These sacraments, the seven sacraments, are all presences of Christ. I am with you always until the end of the time. I will not leave you orphans. And we as a church recognize the presence of Jesus Christ in each of the sacraments each of the sacraments. And in particular, brothers, you will be charged to celebrate the Eucharist and to hear the confessions of your brothers and sisters. And through these sacraments, you will allow Christ to work through you so that he can be present to his people. Please be careful administrators of the sacraments. And you will do so by being mindful of what you are doing. It is Christ Jesus baptizing that baby. It is Christ Jesus forgiving the sinner in that confessional. It is Christ Jesus himself in your person celebrating his own offering to the Father. It is he who wants to be present in the church today so that he may shine forth and touch the depths of the hearts of your brothers and sisters. Remember, only he can reach into the lives of people that we cannot reach. How important it is that he be front and center. The Eucharist, as we know, is the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrament of selfless love poured out, the sacrament of service. All that Jesus gave to us here on earth. It is the sacrament of Christ's redemption. As we reverence the altar, as we come into the Mass, as we bow to the altar, as we incense the altar, that altar represents for us the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of selfless love, the sacrifice of service. And upon it, he will place himself again through your hands and your words in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Remember, Christ was priest on the cross, and so will you be. In the sacrament of reconciliation, I ask you to be compassionate and clear, be gentle and kind. Welcome the sinner to a new life of conversion. Walk with them. And above all, brothers, do not judge. And even less, do not condemn. That's not our job. Be there, present to your brothers and sisters. In order for this to happen, you must take on the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ. And doing so in a life of sincere prayer, remembering what John the Baptist said in the third chapter of St. John, he must increase, I must decrease. And I give that to you as a challenge over the years that the Lord gives you as a priest. Always seek to decrease. Always seek to not be, so that Christ can be in you, so that Christ can shine in you and through you to his brothers and sisters. Unconsciously, the wonderful people of God, the royal priesthood, at times puts us on a pedestal of honor. Stop doing that. That's not our place. We are not to be put on a place of honor. Never take to heart that position if it is given to you. Remind yourself, as I remind you today, you are humble servants of the Lord. Only on the pedestal of humility will you be of any use to the people of God. On the pedestal of humility, you will be of great use to the people of God. Do not draw your people to yourself. Draw them to Jesus Christ. Only on the pedestal of humility will you be able to reach beyond the borders of the parish boundaries to which you will be sent. Only on the pedestal of humility will you be able to see beyond the parish database and reach those who are longing for salvation but are not registered in our books. If you remain on the pedestal of pride and honor, you will fall off. And you will serve little purpose in the plan of God's redemption for all. The pedestal of humility is prepared for us in so many ways. Whoever exalts themselves will be humbled. Whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. And where does this humility happen in our life? It is where it took place in the life of Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. It is through the daily crosses, small and large, that will come to you, that the Lord will humble us, as we all need to be humbled. It will be in the conflicts. It will be in the difficulties of ministry. It will be in difficult assignments that we may be assigned to. It will be in the difficulty of saying yes, giving up my own will to the will of the Father, through the bishop, through the superior. Humility happens if we let it happen. And to rise onto the pedestal of humility for all of us as baptized is where the Lord wants to lead us. And so I ask you today, brothers, to be faithful to the cross of Jesus Christ that will be given to you in ways unknown. And I would like to speak to you, or let our Holy Father Francis speak to you about the cross. Just last week, as we all know, he was in the Holy Land, and in Jerusalem he visited the agony in the garden, the place in the garden, and he reflected on what happened on that night before the crucifixion, when Jesus was there in prayer before the huge cross that was in front of him. And he spoke of the people who were with him. And if you don't mind, let me read his words. At the hour which God had appointed to save humanity from its enslavement to sin, Jesus came here to Gethsemane, to the foot of the Mount of Olives. We now find ourselves in this holy place, and above all, by his yes to the loving will of the Father. We dread, in some sense, to approach what Jesus went through in that hour. None of us enjoys the cross. We tread softly as we enter into this sacred space where the destiny of the world was decided. In that hour, Jesus felt the need to pray. You too will feel the need to pray in the moments of your cross. And he also felt the need to have with him his disciples and his friends, those who had followed him and shared most closely in his mission. But here, the Holy Father says, in Gethsemane, following him became difficult and uncertain. They were overcome by doubt, weariness, and fright. As the events of Jesus' passion rapidly unfolded, the disciples would adopt certain attitudes before their master, attitudes of closeness, distance, and hesitation. The Pope continues, here in this place, at Gethsemane, each of us, bishops, priests, consecrated persons, seminarians, and we'll add the laity, might do well to ask. And to you, my four brothers, this morning, ask this question: who am I before the sufferings of my Lord? Am I among those who, when Jesus asked them to keep watch with him, fell asleep instead? Or rather than praying, seek to escape, refusing to face reality? Or do I see myself in those who fled out of fear, who abandoned the Master at the most tragic hour in his earthly life? Is there perhaps duplicity in me, like that of the one who sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, who once called Jesus friend, and yet ended up by betraying him? Do I see myself in those who draw back and deny him like Peter? shortly before, he promised Jesus that he would follow him even until death, but then, put to the test and assailed by fear, he swore he did not even know him. Am I like those who began planning to go about their lives without him? Like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, foolish and slow to heart to believe the words of the prophets. And here, brothers, we enter into the model of fidelity, which I wish for you today on this feast of our Blessed Mother. The Pope continues, or perhaps, thanks to God, do we find ourselves among those who remained faithful to the end, like the Virgin Mary and the Apostle John. On Golgotha, when everything seemed bleak and all hope seemed pointless, only love proved stronger than death. The love of the mother and the beloved disciple made them stay at the foot of the cross, sharing in the pain of Jesus to the very end. Do I recognize myself in those who imitate their master to the point of martyrdom, testifying that he is everything to them? The incomparable strength sustaining their mission and ultimate horizon of their lives. Jesus' friendship with us, his faithfulness and his mercy, are a priceless gift which encourages us to follow him trustingly, notwithstanding our failures, our mistakes, or our betrayals. And so, my brothers, remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Don't worry about remaining faithful to your bishop, your superior. Don't remain faithful worrying about the liturgy of the hours, saying Mass every day, hearing confessions. Don't worry about those things. I ask you to be conscious of one thing. Be faithful to Jesus Christ. Then you will say Mass every day with the heart of Jesus. You will hear confessions with his compassion and love. You will seek out the lost because he will urge you to do so. At the foot of the cross, at the cross that the Lord gives you every day, remain stabat. Stand with his mother and with John in front of whatever. Lift up your mind and heart to him. Call me. I hope I'm a friend. Share the pain with your brother priests, deacons, and laity, so that we can all remain faithful. And I conclude with one more sentence from the Holy Father, speaking of our beautiful, wonderful mother on this feast of the Visitation to Elizabeth. He said, a good relationship with the mother helps us to stay in good relationship with the church. God bless you.